And I appreciate the introduction from Mark, and I just feel amazingly blessed to be able to work with him the last almost 5 years that we've been working together. That was one of the main reasons why, when I was looking at what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, obviously network marketing was a big piece of it, but I'm looking at it saying, all right, what company do I want to sink my heart and soul into? And, you know, it wasn't difficult to decide to do travel, you know? I don't know if you guys, how many of you have ever done network marketing before? Yeah, now keep your hand up if it was a little bit less sexy than what we're doing. It was a lot less sexy. And I'm like, all right, I can talk about travel. What am I never going to get bored with? And I'm pretty sure I don't think I'll ever get bored about talking about Bora Bora, cruises down the Nile River, you know, climbing the Sydney Harbor Bridge. I never get tired of that kind of stuff. You guys with me? So that was a big factor. But the other one was, a lot of time in most network marketing companies, they don't have a training program. They leave it up to the field to, you know, hey, figure it out. Because a lot of times the owners, they just, maybe they haven't done network marketing before. They just don't get it. And so Mike and Wayne, the two co-founders, I knew them. And so I knew they really got it. But you know, knowing that Mark Aceta was the director of training for World Ventures, I had actually been to one of his events before Mark or I were involved in World Ventures, and it was The View. If you haven't been to The View, I mean, you deserve to go. It's one of those events that's going to change your life. And so I went to that event, and he was doing it for his team and his company that he was the top earner for. And I just remember the characters, and I still remember those characters today. I remember them from so many years ago, and so I knew how good he was. In the network marketing industry, in our profession, there's around 15 million people just in the United States, well over 30 million globally that are involved in network marketing. And if you look at every trainer out there, there's no one that holds a candle to Mark. I mean, he is the, in my mind, and everyone, I've never had anyone argue this, he's the best trainer in network marketing. So the reason why, you know, this market has done as well as it has, the reason why our markets in Europe have done so well, the reasons why Asia has done so well, I mean, we've got a great company, we've got a great product, but I'm telling you, we would be nowhere close to where we are now if it weren't for Mark Aceta. So let's give it up for Mark. All right. So here's what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about, for the next little bit here, is giving you a level of confidence where you could be dropped into any city in the world where World Ventures does business, take away all your organization, give you no contacts, nothing but the opportunity of World Ventures, and have you know beyond a shadow of a doubt within a year you're earning a full-time income. Would that be cool? Okay, now when I started working with Wayne Nugent back, I don't know, 13, 14 years ago, that was the level of confidence that he said, if you really understand this and you make a commitment to being a professional network marketer, not just doing it as a side hobby, but if you read the right books, if you constantly work on yourself, if you learn from me and learn from everyone else, you can have that level of confidence. And I'll tell you the truth, I didn't know that, because I had been in networking for about 6 years, never made more than I spent in a month, and so I really had a hard time believing that was even possible. But I just thought, wow, what if I just had the ability to create money at will, just build an organization at will? And what happened over the years, because I committed to becoming a professional in network marketing, and most of you, I would guess, kind of did like I did the first several years that I was involved in networking, is I was involved and I'd come to trainings and all that, but I never looked at it as a career. I never looked at it as a profession. Okay, so how many of you before this event, raise your hands if you honestly looked at World Ventures as your career, your profession? Okay, it's not that many hands. I mean, that's more than normal. So congratulations for those of you that raised your hand. And the reality of the situation is that whatever you do in life, you're going to have to get good at it. So whatever your career is, if you're an accountant, you better get good at being good at accounting. Otherwise, you're going to screw up someone's taxes, screw up their books. You're not going to have a job very long. If you're going to be an attorney, you better be a good attorney. Otherwise, you're going to lose your job. So whatever you have to do, you're going to have to get good at it anyway. So Wayne's coaching to me was, if you're going to get good at something anyway, get good at something worth getting good at. If you're going to make something your career, your profession, just like any other profession, you know, you have to go through some studies. If you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, you know, a lot of times you have to go through 4 years of college. You're going to have to study. And then once you've studied and learned and all that, then you start making money. The challenge with this is you think, oh, wow, I should start making money my first month. And some people do. And sometimes you look at other people and you go, well, man, they came out of the gates running like crazy. What's wrong with me? Well, you never know what they went through before. One of the reasons why, for me, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you take away everything, drop me in any city that's English speaking. Maybe not English speaking. I mean, I'm pretty confident. Maybe not even English speaking. And I know inside of a year, I'm making a six-figure income. I mean, it's just a done deal. Because, here's one of the main reasons, is because I really understand that my clicker doesn't work. I understand that it's all a numbers game. It's really as simple as going through the numbers. And if I go through enough numbers and also apply the, you know, the right closing skills, getting a new person started skills, promoting event skills, training skills, as long as I'm doing all that, then I know I'm earning a six-figure income in a year because all I have to do is go through the numbers. So I just need enough leads. So if you drop me in, let's say Budapest, Hungary, I don't know anyone. I need to go out and start meeting someone to show them the business. And so, if you know, in working the numbers, so I'll talk about contacting and meeting new people, but let's just talk about the people that you enroll. Because one of the misconceptions, I think, is, you know, you put four people in your group and they're not doing anything and you're like, oh man, it doesn't work. Okay, it's because you don't really understand how the numbers are supposed to work out or how they do work out. Now, I've been doing this a long time, 19 years of my life, and I keep thinking that the numbers should work out better for me than they do. I'm like, I should get a much higher percentage of duplication rate. And I do get a little bit better, but the numbers are the numbers. Can I give you what the numbers have been for me over the last 19 years? Okay. So out of every 10 people you enroll, you can't expect all 10 to go out and duplicate. I mean, if you have that happen, everyone you enroll duplicates and does well, plugs into trainings, you may be the best network marketer in the history of the world. Okay, personally, I've never seen it. You get about four who just go away. They just disappear. How many of you have had someone that you've enrolled and they've just disappeared? Raise your hand. Okay, those of you that are not raising your hand, you should have some people that are disappearing. You're not enrolling enough people. And I remember listening to a Jim Rohn cassette, and he told this story about farmers. You know, farmers, when they plant seeds, when they're going to grow a crop, they have to plant seeds. And they plant a bunch of seeds. Well, some of the seeds will, you know, bloom and, you know, they'll grow fruit or whatever from the seeds. Some of the seeds land on rocky ground. Some of the seeds, the birds get them. Okay, so if you're wondering, like, man, what happened to my person? The birds got them. Okay, the birds got them. And you just have to be okay. And what we call those are chickens. Okay, they're just chickens. Now, you can't, they're just chickens. You can't, like, convert them to anything else. Okay, then you're going to have about four who show up. Now, the four who show up, these are either the eagles or the eagles in training. Now, theirs are the ones that they'll show up to the events. You know, they'll return your call some of the time. They may enroll someone, they may not enroll someone, but they're going to kind of be around. But you can't really expect them to do a whole lot. See, what your goal with the chickens or eagles in training here, your goal is to get into their warm market as fast as you can to find an eagle. And I'll show you my system of doing that here in just a minute. And then you have two who are serious, two who build, two who actually do something significant. And so we call those the eagles. Now, where do you think you're supposed to spend most of your time? With the eagles. But that's not how most people do. Most people are like, oh, I got two eagles. They're running. So let me see if I can convert these chickens to eagles. Okay? And so you're running around. You got a handful of people in your group. And you're like, come here, chicken. Come here. All right, we got a training on Thursday, and it's going to be awesome. Colette Bauer, she's actually coming in from Zimbabwe. She's going to do the training. She's amazing. You're going to be there. You go, okay, all right, fly. And you throw your chicken in the air. Now, do chickens fly? No, it plops right down. But you so want that chicken to be an eagle, so you go, oh, come here, honey. Oh, what happened? Tired, worked all day. You're like, oh, I understand. You know, it's like that. But listen, I want you to know that I believe in you. You've got all the skills and ability. Listen, on Saturday, we're going to have an opportunity meeting, and then we'll do a training after that. You should bring a bunch of people. Okay, you're like, okay, fly. And then you're like, Saturday comes around, and what happened? Your chicken's like, he's running around. But the challenge, here's where it gets worse, is when you have a whole bunch of them. And instead of focusing on the eagles, you're like trying to make like five or six different chickens and turn them into eagles. You're like, come here. You're like, and they're just, bark. You can't convert them. See, what my attitude in the past, I was like, I had all these chickens. I'm like, I'm going to make you successful if it kills me. I nearly died, okay? So, and you just like, you're running this cycle over and over constantly. Like, okay, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Meanwhile, you're not calling anyone. You're not recruiting. You can do it. You want to do a training? Okay. There we go. You want to do another lunch training? You haven't invited anyone? No, but four trainings? Okay, we can do it. I know. I believe in you. And you know what happens if you're constantly trying to turn chickens into eagles? You get chicken shit all over you. So here's the lesson of the day is, number one, you decide you're going to be an eagle, and you go out and you find you some eagles. Don't try to turn the chickens into eagles. See, I was an eagle in training for a period of time. I showed up. I didn't do a whole lot. But if my upline would have spent a ton of time on me, it just... You know, it's like, I had to come along. I had to develop. I had to decide to do it. Okay? So, four steps. Man, I'm worn out now. I need to do some more cardio. Wow. I need to be like Anton here. Four steps to cold market prospecting. You drop me in, you know, Budapest, Hungary, and I got to meet some contacts. So what do I do? I'll just give you my format. Everyone's always wondering, like, how do you find people to talk to? You know, I've been, and so many people say, well, I've talked to everyone I know. And I'm always like, okay, pull out your phone and show me your contacts. Have you called this person? Oh, no. Have you called this person? Well, no. How about this one? Well, no. This one? Well, no. It's like, well, no. That's a common deal, right? So you haven't called everyone you know. You still have people on your chicken list. And what you do is you prejudge them. You think, oh, well, they're really successful. Oh, they're not successful. Oh, whatever the reason is. And so you need to contact everyone. Now, you should be able to have a pretty big list. I mean, pretty much anyone, any adult has 200-300 people that they know on a first name basis. People that you do business with. You know, you got your banker, you've got, I don't know, dry cleaning people, whoever it is, the baker, you know, people, the waitresses, people that you know. And so you do business with them. Shouldn't they at least look at your business? Yeah. If they do it great, if they don't do it great, either way, but they should at least look, is my attitude. So which list is bigger, though? Is it the list of people that you know or the list of people you don't know? List of people you don't know. There's a bunch of people out there. So how do we go out there? Now, Wayne Nugent is the ultimate three-foot rule inviter. You know, it's like the three-foot rule is anyone who's within 3 feet of you could be a prospect. And so I'll just give you a simple formula. This was very difficult for me. I'll be real open because I grew up being pretty shy. I was not... I don't know, I'm just not the guy who would go out and be real extroverted and meet people and stuff like that. I used to go to the mall and I'd say, all right, I'm gonna get 10 phone numbers. and I'd walk around the mall, and 2 hours later, I'd have none, okay? And I would just, it wasn't normal. I mean, I grew up, I remember I had this Frisbee, and it was, everyone said, don't never talk to strangers, you know? Never walk, talk, ride, or play with strangers was the message they gave us as kids. I'd still, it's like ingrained into my head. So the habit that I developed was not talking to strangers. So I had to change that habit. I had to be like, okay, people aren't gonna bite me. It's gonna be okay. And depending on who they are, if they do, it's all right. So here's the formula that I've kind of developed that works for me. So step number one is give a sincere compliment. Okay, when you're out and about, you see, you know, I see a guy wearing a sharp suit, something like that. I just say, hey man, that's a sharp suit. Where'd you get that? If I see a lady, I'll say, wow, I love that shirt. Where'd you get that? My wife would love that. See, if you're, guys, if you're contacting a lady, mention your wife, mention your girlfriend. Well, they don't think you're trying to hit on them. Ladies, mention your boyfriend, mention your husband. Probably recruit better if you didn't, but. Totally kidding, totally kidding. Okay. So I give a sincere compliment. And then, and here's the interesting thing. When you give someone a compliment, you want to know a secret about just human nature. When someone compliments you, don't you immediately just kind of like them? You're like, oh, they're so smart. I like them. So if you want people to like you, give them a compliment. People like others who like them. And so here's the rule. When you're out meeting people, just like them. Just figure out how you can, I mean, genuinely learn to love other people and like other people and be interested in them. See, it's people love talking about themselves. They love getting edification. They love that. So go with it. And you can meet a lot of friends very quickly. And so you ask them about themselves, be genuinely interested. Now, usually what I do is I ask them, I say, what do you do for a living? And I'll have a guy that's wearing a sharp suit. I'll say, hey man, that is a sharp suit. What do you do for a living? And what happens is there's, when you have the posture to walk up to someone and just say, man, that's a sharp suit. What do you do for a living? Doesn't it seem like I've got a little bit more posture? Mm-hmm. It's like there's something about me. If I can just walk up to someone and say, man, that's a sharp suit. What do you do for a living? I'm like interviewing, you know? I've got some posture. I've got confidence. And even if you don't have confidence, you want to know the secret to developing confidence? Pretending like you have confidence. If you pretend like you have confidence, you have confidence, okay? Other people perceive you as being confident if you pretend like you're confident. So you want to know a secret to being happy? Yep. Pretend like you're happy. If you're like, man, how can I be happier? Just pretend, smile. So everyone smile right now, okay? Now, I know some of you may have come in and maybe you didn't have the best morning. You know, people are like, well, I'm depressed. Like, well, yeah, no shit, tell your face. I mean, look at your face. You look depressed. So we'll do a quick exercise. Everyone stand up real quick. Okay, I'm gonna do an exercise and I'm gonna do my best to see if I can get you to feel sad, okay? I'm gonna see if we can get you to feel sad. Okay, everyone, real quick, what I want you to do is just, you know, stand tall, put your shoulders up. You know, shoulders back a little bit. You know, look up, and I want you to smile. Smile, yeah, all right. Now, what I want you to do is laugh a little. Just go, jump up and down a little. And right now, feel sad. Keep doing that, keep going. But I want you to feel sad. Raise your hand if you feel sad. We got no hands. Okay, have a seat. I proved my point. So, if you want to be confident, if you want to be bold, just go out and do it. Okay? So I'll say, what do you do for a living? I'm, an accountant. Oh, wow, how long have you been doing that? 2 years. Oh, wow, you must love it if you've been doing it that long. You know, I kind of emphasize love. You must love it if you've been doing it that long. And what I'm looking for is I'm looking for a hook. I'm looking for an opening. And, you know, the other day, for instance, I went in to buy a phone, a cell phone and a iPad. And I knew exactly what I wanted. I walk into the store, and I was a lay down sale. I mean, there was no salesmanship that happened. And, you know, I was like, hey, I want this and this. And the guy comes and he helps me. And I was kind of joking. I was totally joking, actually. And I said, man, you're a good salesman. Like, he didn't have to do any sales. Like, it was like obvious. But he didn't realize I was joking. And he says, oh, wow, thank you. And I said, how long have you been working here? And he says, 2 years. I go, wow, you must love it if you've been doing it here, if you've been here that long. And he says, actually, no, I'm looking for something else. And I was like, listen, I know you're at work, so we don't have to talk right now, but write down your number. I'm in charge of recruiting with my company. He's like, oh, okay. Writes his number down. I mean, just like total lay down. So as soon as, like, that's my end. If they say, well, you know, as soon as they say that, then I go into step three. You keep your career options open, keep your income options open. And as soon as they say yes, or if they say no, then I'm like, cool, whatever. And a lot of times I meet people, I never get their phone number. It's okay. There's a lot of people out there. So don't feel like you have to get the phone number every time. Just go start the conversations. And the more conversations that you have, and the better you're going to get, the easier it's going to get. Okay, and what I do, as soon as I find the opening, I immediately go like this. I tap my watch, and I say, listen, I'm in a hurry, I gotta run, but what's your number real quick? Let me put it in my phone. See, I just say, what's your number? See, I never ask for the number. Can I have your number? If you ask someone, can I have your number? Then in their mind, they're thinking, well, maybe there's a reason why I shouldn't give it to them if they're asking me for it. See, if you have confidence, and you just lead, people are used to following. And I cannot remember the last time someone didn't give me their phone number. I can't remember it. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but it's been a very long time. And so I just immediately, right there. Now, you don't always have to go ask them what they do for a living. You can say, hey, you from around here? You know, just whatever it is to start the conversation. Okay, is that making sense? Okay, is that a pretty simple formula? You know, sincere compliment. And what I do in a lot of cases, I'll give two or three compliments. I'll say, you know, man, that's a sharp suit you're wearing. What do you do for a living? And he tells me, and say, oh man, how long have you been doing that? Oh, a couple of years. Man, you must love it to have been doing it that long. And he says, yeah, I like it pretty good. Now, I'm not just going to leave if he says that. I'll just keep with the conversation. I said, man, you are a super sharp guy. Now, what'd you do before that? And what'd you do before you were in sales? What'd you do before you were in accounting? You know, and I'm like, are you married? Do you have family, kids? You know, I'm just being interested in him. And is the more compliments I give, the more they want to talk. It's interesting. And then what I may say, in some cases, I just may say, listen, I'm a partner in a marketing company. So what my thing is, I don't want the perception to be I'm just a rep in some company. Is I'm a partner in a marketing company. I'm a partner in a marketing company. Man, we are growing like crazy. And you know, I know you're super happy with what you're doing, but man, there may be some synergies for us working together. I'm in a rush, I gotta run, but what's your number real quick? Put it in and then I'm gone, okay? But remember, tap your phone, because tap your watch. Why do I tap my watch and say I'm in a rush? Because I don't want to get into question and answer mode, okay? I don't want to have to, it's kind of like the invite when you say, hey, I'm in a hurry, I don't have a lot of time to talk. You know, that you're saying that because you don't want to have to answer questions all the time, okay? And if you ask me, well, what do you do? I say, well, I'm in a marketing company, but I don't have the time right now. I'm in a big time rush, but here, I'll give you a call in the next few days, we'll have coffee. See, I'll give you a call in the next few days, we'll have coffee. Another thing that you can say is, I can't promise you anything. You know, so you're meeting someone, hey, listen, I'm in a rush, I gotta run, but I'm a partner in a marketing company, we're growing like crazy, we can't bring people on fast enough. Let me get your number, I'd love to talk to you. I'm in charge of recruiting, but you know, I can't promise you anything, but we'll have coffee in the next few days. See, I'm just telling them, we'll have coffee in the next few days. I'm just leading, you get it? Okay. Next thing, 5 steps to getting a new member started. You enroll a brand new person. What do you do with them? And so my whole thing is I want to get into their warm market fast. So immediately upon enrolling someone is not the time to go celebrate. You don't go celebrate when you enroll someone. Unfortunately, what happens is when someone enrolls someone, then they say, all right, go watch this video or, you know, do this and I'll see you in a day or two. And you just, you leave them. Now, if you want to increase your ratio of duplication among the chickens or the eagles in training, is very quickly getting into their warm market. So here's what I do. Someone's enrolled. I want to pull out their why. I want to pull out some hot buttons. Okay? So I'm going to say, let's say I enroll Preggy. I'm saying, hey, Preggy, why did you do this? What is it you really want to get out of this? See, I want to pull something a little bit deeper than just the money. And if Preggy says money, I'm going to say, well, money ends in a why. Why do you want the money? What's something you really want to happen because of this? And I want to get him dream building a little bit. I want him to tell me two or three things that would be really significant in his life. Okay, and so when he tells me, you know, I want to be able to, I don't see any way I'm going to be able to send my kids to college. And I say, awesome, man, that's a great reason. Anything else? So yeah, I'm going to pull out two or three things. And so what I've done is I'm naturally increasing his desire, naturally increasing his motivation to want to go do something because I've figured out what he wants. You know, that is a big thing in recruiting as well. When you sit down with someone, if you can figure out what their why is, your chance of enrolling them is so much higher. You know, you're sitting down with someone, and what I say a lot is, you know, I want to have some posture. I want to be kind of, I want to be positioned as the president and CEO. And so I'm going to say, what are some goals that you have for yourself over the next 5 years? One of my favorite questions. What are some goals that you have for yourself and your family over the next 5 years? Oh, we want to do this. We want to do this with this. You know, so I pull out a few things. And then at the end, when they start saying, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I can go back and I say, you remember how you told me you want to take your family to Hawaii and you've never been able to go on vacation? Do you think not doing this or do you think procrastinating on this, is that going to move you closer to your goal or push you farther away? Well, farther away. I say, listen, I just want the best for you. I mean, if you're really serious about that, the things that you told me that you wanted, let's get you started, okay? See, I'm focusing on what it is they want. Okay, same thing when you enroll a new member. Pull out their why. Figure out why they're doing it. Okay? And a lot of times when they give me their why, I'm going to say, well, are you willing to be coachable and do whatever I tell you to do in order to make that a reality? And what do they say every time? Yes. Are you willing to be coachable and teachable so we can make that a reality? They'll always say yes. Sometimes I'll say, are you sure? Twice. Yes. I say, awesome. Here's what I want you to do. Write down the top 20 people that you're the closest with. Go ahead and write them down. And I just sit there with them. Sometimes I'm enrolling someone. It's 9:30 at night after the opportunity meeting. And we're sitting out, you know, out in the little area, we're still sitting in the chairs, have them write the list right there. So once they do their list of 20, I talk to them about scoring 24. I said, all right, here's our goal. It's to score in 24. Now, this is something that I talk about all the time. I mean, I think my team is sick of me talking about scoring 24 because every fast start training that I do, I talk about scoring 24. You know, I welcome someone to Facebook. I'm like, hey, welcome to the team. Let's score in 24. Very quickly get into their warm market because your chance of getting someone to stay engaged in the business increases dramatically if you can get them a quick win. If you can help them enroll someone very fast, then they're way more likely to stay with it and get started. And there's the rule that every dud knows a stud. So that person you enrolled, they may look like a stud, but they may be a dud. They may go home and, you know, their dream gets stolen. Someone says, oh, those things don't work. You're crazy. And they never show up again. So I want to get into their warm market as fast as possible. I want to help them enroll someone. The way you have to look at this is you haven't really enrolled someone unless you've helped them enroll someone. Okay? So I'm going to talk to them about scoring 24, and I say, who's your closest friend? Who are you the closest with? If you got four flat tires, you're stranded on the side of the road, and you needed someone to come pick you up, and you know it was going to be $360 to get new tires for your car, who would you call? I'd call, let's see, my friend Sally. Great. So we're going to call Sally right now and we'll go see her or we'll set up an appointment for tomorrow. Okay? If it's in the afternoon, something like that, then you can go see him right now. Hey, what are you doing right now? Okay? And so what I'm going to do is then I'm just going to train them on how to invite. I'm going to say, you know, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call them on the phone and I just want you to ask them, hey, what are you up to right now? And when they say, if they say they're busy, say, hey, no worries, I'll catch you another time. If they're free, say, all right, hey, I've got an idea I need to run by you. It'll take about 20 minutes. I'm going to pop over to your place. Immediately go there. Now, how many of you have heard of Team No Sleep in New York? Yeah. Okay, now Team No Sleep, they're the fastest growing organization in the U.S. by far. I mean, they are just rocking it. I mean, they're destroying it. And I remember going there, and we're doing a Super Saturday. We do a Saturday training. We do an op meeting. We're wrapping up. It's 10 o'clock at night, and they're inviting people, and they're leaving. It's almost midnight, and they're going to show a presentation to someone. I mean, literally, they just don't sleep. That's why they're having so much success. The Rat Pack, you know, one of the reasons why they have so much success, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, that's not stop time. Okay? They're, you know, they're just going to people. It may be midnight, maybe 1 a.m. It doesn't matter. They're just going to present, going to show people. So there's no reason to wait. Now, it may be late and they may not be comfortable calling their friends. You know, everyone may have jobs in the next day that they've got to get up for and so forth. So set an appointment the next day. You know, call your friend or send them a text message and say, what are you doing for lunch tomorrow? See, what I like to do is I like to kind of clear the date. Kind of like you're inviting someone, you clear the date and then you set the appointment. I'll do that with my brand new person. I'll say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow at lunch? Nothing. I say, awesome. Well, we're going to get your business launched tomorrow at lunch. What I want you to do is I want you to text about six, seven, eight people and say, hey, free for lunch tomorrow? Question mark. Okay, and they're going to reply back, yes or no. The ones who say yes, hey, meet me here. Once they've agreed to meet you there, you say, great, I got an idea I want to run by you. There you go. So they need to know they're going to see something. So someone gets started at 9 o'clock, we're going to get two or three people. Now, in order to get two or three people there, they're going to have to invite, you know, six, seven, eight. Okay? But immediately getting into action. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
You with me? Okay. And then go with them to show their friend. Their enrollment ratio is going to be much higher. They're brand new. They don't understand. They can't answer questions. They're brand new. So go with them. If they're in another area and you can't go with them, then what you can do is you can equip them with the DVD, the presentation, and then just teach them, here's what you say to set up the video. As soon as the video's over, put them on the phone with me. I'm going to answer the questions, tell them my story, ask them if they're ready to get started. I'll do the work for you. But what I want you to do is I want you, they don't know me. You'll build credibility by edifying me, but they trust you. So I want you to close with your heart. The best closing advice I've ever heard, Jay Peso, we did a leadership retreat, ski retreat in the U.S., and I interviewed him, and I'm asking, what do you do specifically? How exactly are you doing this? And what he teaches his new people is, he says, close with your heart. Okay, whatever it is that you're excited about, if you genuinely want to work with that person, if you believe that they're the kind of person that would have success with this, and you're excited about helping them, say that. Close with your heart. If you're very authentic and you close with your heart, your enrollment ratio is going to be much, much higher. Okay, now the next thing is getting them booked to the next training. You don't have to wait until after. You know, number five could be number one. It could be number two. Okay, actually number two, you ask them their why, you can immediately get them booked for the next regional training. We've got a regional training coming up, and you know, obviously that's one of the major keys to building events. The biggest key for your success in World Ventures is making sure you have more people at the next event than you had at this event. And if you build, I was talking to one of the leaders last night about this, if you just consistently have more people from event to event, at every event, if you always have more people on your team at the next event, you make that a major focus, you can't help but win big. Eventually, you're going to hit a tipping point where things go crazy with your team. Okay? So, creating a deep root structure for long-term stability. What a lot of people do is they may be great recruiters. They're able to go out and enroll, you know, 30, 40, 50 people, but then they never help and they never tap root. See, tap rooting is when you score in 24 and then you help that person score in 24, that person score in 24. When you get, you know, based on the numbers that I've seen, if you get about 10 levels deep, someone who enrolls someone who enrolls someone who enrolls someone, 10 to 15 levels deep, you've got an organization that's usually never going to go away. you've got a solid, solid organization that's going to be able to weather the storm. So if your root structure is really wide, like the bottom picture here, that's not near as stable as the top root structure. So the wind comes, the storm comes, can your group weather the storm? Have you taprooted and found someone deep enough to anchor your organization? Okay, the other thing that happens is when you taproot, you get one under another, and you're just digging for leaders, digging for leaders, digging for leaders. You find a leader, what happens is that locks everyone else in. So I personally love to work with people who are very deep because I know that's going to excite everyone coming up. Okay, I'm going to leave with my favorite quote. Far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat. So we got a choice, guys. We can live in victory or live in that gray twilight. Personally, I know I may have to burn the candle at both ends. I may have to do things that are uncomfortable, but I just want to live in victory.